Let's turn to Romans chapter 1 tonight. Lord willing, we'll finish up Romans chapter 1. Got a message on my heart I'm going to give to you tonight and close out this chapter, the last several verses. And Hannah was testifying about all the preachers she's, Lord's let her sit under and all those things. And we was praying tonight, having our time of prayer and just kind of thanking the Lord. And I was praying, thinking the Lord, got to thinking about that, thinking about all the preaching God's let me sit under, and God's sending me a preacher and giving me a Bible and giving me the Holy Spirit, guiding me into all truth and all those things. And as all that in light of preaching through Romans 1 and looking at just the terrible, terrible sins that we find in Romans chapter 1, and the devastation that sin causes, and how this is the path that we are all on when the Lord saves us. Nobody's ever not been on this path, and because we are by nature sinners and have sin, and so, you know, preaching this, you know, this isn't just cold, dead facts, just throwing it out there. This is reminding us of who and what and where we were before we got saved. If you're saved tonight, that is. If you're not saved, this is where you are right now. And all of that in light of the fact that really this is what we deserve. The very last verse talks about them being worthy of death. And that's us. That is us. We're worthy of death. Worthy of judgment. Worthy of wrath. We're so high-minded, we think we're worthy of more than what we're worthy of. He's the only one that's worthy. And He's saved us. And we're not getting what we deserve tonight. Amen. We're not getting what's fair. And I don't want what's fair. Amen. And so, boy, I just thank the Lord for all that He's allowed me to be exposed to in my lifetime in regards to preaching and Bible truth and just the light of the gospel. And so, boy, it's good to be saved. Romans chapter 1, I'll not ask you to stand. We've already stood a couple times. And so we'll just kind of look here and read some verses and give you the thought tonight out of Romans chapter 1. And let's begin reading. We'll just get the whole passage again. We'll look in verse number 18, starting in verse number 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now this here begins our text for tonight, verse 26. He says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time to be in your house. And I pray that you would help us tonight to receive from heaven what you'd have us to receive. I pray, Lord, that you would bind these things on our heart. And Lord, that they would, Lord, get thoroughly rooted down in our soul. Lord, that we might not sin against you. I pray, Lord, that tonight you would restore and revive and stir within our hearts and our minds, Lord, the very serious nature of sin, the destructive nature of sin. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take very seriously, Lord, these things that we're looking at tonight. And Lord, that we would flee from them, that we would stay far from them. Lord, that we could be greatly blessed of you. Lord, that we could have all the blessings, Lord, that you would have us to receive. Lord, again, I pray that you would touch that lost soul that might be here among us, or that you would, Lord, put them under conviction, show them their lost condition. I pray that tonight would be the night of salvation, or that they'd be saved from their sin, or that they'd flee the wrath to come and be saved. Lord, I just pray that you'd have your perfect will and way in among us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're in the last part of this chapter. I'm going to close it out tonight. So far, this whole last section, verse 18 on, been looking at and dealing with the great need man's great need of the gospel. Why do we even need the gospel, really, is what we're looking at. And, of course, that is because of sin, because sin is so destructive. And we've seen, of course, the punishment of sin and been looking down into the particulars of sin. The very last thing we'll see, the very last verse, we're going to see the persistence of sin. But before we get there, we're kind of closing out this last category of sin that we see that man progresses into. And I think messages like this are really very important in our day. I mean, it's not just sin, sin, sin all the time. Matter of fact, we're going to move on, get into Romans and get into some very different things and lots of different topics. That's really the blessing of preaching verse by verse of the Bible, is because you just wind up preaching and dealing with and majoring on everything the Bible deals with and majors on. Amen. We can major on a lot of stuff that God really don't major on. I mean, it may be there, but God may just not major on it. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so there's things that get preached just all the time that really the Bible doesn't even have a lot to say about. But if you just preach what's there, then you wind up majoring on what God majors on. Amen. And we'll certainly see that. We'll see you preach many different topics and many different messages. But this one is so important because this is the man's need in regards to the theme of the whole Bible. And man's true need is what we've been dealing with, is the doctrine of sin. And by the way, sin is the doctrine. This has been a very doctrinal passage and a very doctrinal message. And we've got to get a hold of this and understand this. And I think it's as important, if not more important, this day. Like, I don't mean to just rear back and just pound on sin all the time. That's part of the preacher's job, you know, is to preach sin, preach righteousness. God's men have always been preachers of righteousness. But it's as important, if not more important, in these last days and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, because sin is so much more prevalent and will be getting more prevalent and more acceptable, get more receptive, and we can get soft towards sin. And so it's good for those of us that are saved. I mean, if this is just the church that's here and we're all saved, I don't know who is and who isn't, but if you're saved, this is good for you and good for me to be reminded of the seriousness of sin and the seriousness of the path and the direction of sin. That it's not anything to be taken lightly. And all of it may be accepted by our society. And there may be things that are just welcomed with open arms and society doesn't even look at it as a big deal anymore. Well, I want you to know, it's all still a big deal to God. None of it is a change in the Bible. Amen? Listen, I can even remember when I was growing up in the 90s that for a teenage girl to get pregnant in school, you know, for that to happen, that was a very shameful thing. I mean, that was a very shameful thing that people did not talk about, and they didn't like to talk about, and the parents would be very embarrassed, and the girl would be embarrassed, and there would be a lot of shame there. Rightfully so, by the way. There is a lot of shame in that sin. And by the way, it is a sin against God. It's not a bad decision. It's a sin against God. Amen. It still is. But see, you fast forward to 2021, it's not that way anymore. It's not that way anymore. People shack up now all the time and it's no big deal. And you know, have children out of wedlock, and the churches are throwing them baby showers and promoting it like it's a big, great thing. Listen, man, there is still shame and sin in the eyes of God. And it's important that we realize that and we know that and take it very seriously, because regardless of if it is accepted in society or not, it's still going to lead down the same path. It's still going to lead down the same path. The path is always destruction when it comes to sin, no matter how big or how small. Always. The devil has sold this world a counterfeit and got people believing, got people deceived into thinking that they can get balanced in. Like, if enough people just accept sin, then God will wink at it. You know, and you can make it in society and have a good life living in sin. But I want you to know, it has not changed in God's eyes, and the destination will always be the same. It will be destruction. Amen. And so, by the way, God doesn't deal with all these things in the Word, and I don't deal with all these things in preaching, because, you know, God doesn't want us to have fun or have a good time. It's to save us, to rescue us from the destruction of sin. Amen. And so it's very important that we get these things. And so as we close out our chapter, I want us to keep that in mind, that man needs the gospel. We need Christ. We need Christ because of our sin. He has saved us from our sins. Amen. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the awful effects of sin. We've seen sin in the intellect, verses 21 through 24. Saw sin in our worship, or sin in our idolatry, which affects our worship, in verse 25. This morning, tonight, this last section here, we see sin in our interests. Sin in man's interest. So sin in the intellect affects the mind. It starts in the mind and affects the mind. It progresses into idolatry and affects worship and what man idolizes and what man loves and serves and obeys. Then it progresses into man's interests. Sin doesn't just affect your mind and affect your worship. Sin will affect your interests. The last of these three categories of sin that God deals with in His Word speaks of a lack of interest in God. Okay? Now that is where sin leads 100% of the time now. You will not break out of this mold. None of us will be the one to overcome. Well, none of us will be the exception. This is 100% accuracy. You start dishonoring God in your mind and your heart. Maybe nobody sees it, but you and God know it's there. You become unthankful because you don't honor God. That turns not just to sins in the heart and the mind, but then it becomes physical sins. It gets on the outside. Sin always starts on the inside before it gets to the outside. And these people were turned over to sin on the outside. Amen. We see the same thing in David's life. Listen, that sin with Bathsheba, that did not start the morning that he got up and looked off his balcony. That is not where it started. I believe with all my heart that you can go back and look in David's life, even in the Scripture, and you can find a pattern of sin, a pattern of slipping in David's life. You can find a pattern of his problem with women in his life. I'm telling you, it did not start. It started in his heart, in his mind, and then it progressed. It got to the outside where people can see it. Amen. See, the outside is just a manifestation of what's on the inside. And so it progresses to that, progresses to idolatry. And then without fail, it will begin to affect your interest. Now, you want to know why America, and even in the Bible, you want to know why the Bible Belt is drying up on the vine spiritually? You want to know why people today, in what we would call the Bible Belt, and in the past 2 years, year and a half, why, you know, people have listened to the government more than they listen to God, and they've quit church, and they're not interested anymore. You want to know why? Because of what we're talking about right here in Romans chapter 1. Now, the devil will give you every excuse on earth to justify it. But I'm telling you, God is right and the world is wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. And if we'll be honest with ourselves and honest with God, the fact is it started in the heart a long time ago. People got dishonor in their heart for God. They got unthankful. We've been spoiled to death on prosperity in America. We've got our eyes and our mind on other things to where now it's progressed so much that people are just flat not interested in God anymore. They are just not interested in the things of God. Even people that have been church people for 20 and 30 and 40 years and know better and know what's right and know what the Bible says, they are just not interested. They're just not interested. And you know what it, you know what the problem is? The problem is S-I-N, sin. It is sin. Sin affects our interests. And it always causes a lack of interest in God. But the lack of interest isn't where it starts. That's what I'm wanting you to understand. It don't start. You don't just wake up one day and become uninterested in the things of God. It starts way back somewhere. And if somebody would be honest, they'll find a pattern in their life where sin came into their life. But even before that, they'd find somewhere where sin came into their heart. And before that, they'd find where sin came into their mind. It is all a progression. It is always sin. And it affects our interest. It affects our interest in God. Matter of fact, just like I was talking in introduction, talking about the importance of a message like this regarding the last days, you know, Jesus spoke of the last days. And He spoke of the iniquity of the last days. And He said specifically, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said the love and the affections of many people because of sin, it's going to wax cold. They're going to become disinterested. They're not going to be on fire for God like they were at one time. They're not going to have fervency. And the reason is because iniquity abounds. Listen, we're not going the direction that we're going, and people are not going the direction they're going as a result of getting more godly. Our society and people in general, every individual, we're going the direction we're going as a result of more iniquity. Iniquity. People can explain away all this worldliness all they want to, but listen, what we're seeing out there and even what we're seeing in most churches now is not the result of America and churches and everybody getting more spiritual and revival happening. It's the result of going the other way. And again, it's all rooted in sin. So, verse 26 and 27, what we find here, if you look at the verse, that due to the judgment of God, their interests and affections became vile. Look at what it says. For this cause. Well, for what cause? Well, if you look back, they've changed the truth of God into a lie. They've worshipped the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator. And so because of that sin that they had already been turned over to, God turned them over to more sin. He judged them with more sin, and so for that cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. Affections has to do with your affections, things that you love. And the spiritual man doesn't love vile things. As a matter of fact, the natural man doesn't love vile things. He's got to be turned over to this position. The things that the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is about to deal with, the vile affections that he's about to talk about that these people have been turned over to, you've got to be turned over to them. You're not born in a natural state with affections. Loving things as vile is what he's about to say these people love. Look at what he says. God gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's what I just said. There are natural affections and there are unnatural affections. And women do not have a natural affection for one another. There is a natural use for the woman. And they turned the natural use into that which is against nature. They went unnatural. Their affections got vile and unnatural. Then he goes on to say, verse 27, he doesn't just stop with the women. He deals with the men. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And so, vile affections. Men do not naturally burn in their lust one for another. That's sick. That is perverted. They used to call it queer, but queer is a bad word now. You know what queer means? Queer just means weird. Unnatural. That is the definition of the word queer. And they are queers. And it is queer. It is unnatural. It is perverted. It is a vile affection. And by the way, I'll go one step further. It's an unclean spirit. That's why parents need to watch what you need to be careful what you let your kids watch on TV. We've not had one. I mean, we've got one. We watch clean DVDs and stuff like that, but we don't pump in cable and satellite and all that stuff and give our kids free reign on TV and internet and all that stuff. I mean, we don't, and we'll never do that as parents by the grace of God, because I want you to know those people, these ones with the vile affections, they can't reproduce. So what they're doing is they're recruiting. They can't reproduce, so they recruit. And they are after this generation. If you don't believe me, go to the public schools and look around. They are after this generation. They are the devil is targeting this generation, and it is an unclean spirit. They have been turned over to uncleanness. You say, well, how can you say it's an unclean spirit? Because they do things that are unclean. And I'm not going to go into the details there, but you just think about it. It is very unclean, the things that they do. The things that they participate in with one another. It is unclean. And the only thing that would make you do things that are unclean is an unclean spirit. It's uncleanliness. It is unnatural. It is vile affection. I'm not saying that every person that walks down the road of apostasy winds up a sodomite. But they're all heading in this direction. They're all walking the road to being turned over to some form of vile affection. Sodomy is just the sign of it. It's the evidence of it. And it's due to the judgment of God. God judged them by turning them over to sin that affects their interests and their affections. They don't and can't love the things they used to love. They are not and cannot be interested in the things they used to be interested in. I'm telling you, if you are walking this road, you are on dangerous ground. You can't turn and go back whenever you want to. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. I mean, there's a point in time where you can, where mercy's there and grace is there, where you can turn and call on the Lord. But there comes a time, there comes a deadline. Where the affections and the interest are affected so much, and God has given so much leeway and so grace, where He just turns you loose, and so you can't love the things you used to love. You can't be interested in the things you used to be interested in. You know, a lot of that's kind of the way they talk, like drugs affects people. Man, you get that high. You know what happens to drug addicts? They get that first hit. And they spend the rest of their life, that first hit blows them out of the world so much, they spend the rest of their life trying to get to that threshold again. And it starts out here, and the next hit is here. And then the next one's here. And then here. And then here. And so they go to harder and harder and harder drugs, trying to get back here. And that's the addiction. And they get to the point where they cannot love what they used to love. They cannot be interested in what. That's why they'll rip their own family off. That's why they'll steal from their own family. That's why they'll come and lie to a church and church people to try to do whatever they can to get a handout or get something so they can get one more hit, because that thing has got such a control on them that they can't even love and be interested in what they used to love. You know, pornography is the same way. It's so, matter of fact, they've done study. Man, it's a scientific fact. It does the same thing to the human brain as what hardcore and street drugs do. And it sets the bar so high that natural things don't even affect them anymore. They can't love a woman or can't love a man naturally anymore. Are y'all listening or not? I'm not trying to get too far out there. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what the devil is doing. This is the effects of sin. This is where our society is at. And this is where we're going. And this is where you'll wind up. And your kids will wind up if you're not careful, if we don't take it seriously. Amen. I mean, we've gotten so flippant with church and the things of God and living for God. Like, yeah, if I'll do it if I want to, and I won't if I won't. You keep on living that way. You keep on going that way. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to wind up in the ditch someday. You're going to go too far on God. It's a serious, serious thing. And so they've rejected light. So much, these people in this brigade, they've rejected light so much to the point that it has led to unnatural interests and affections. Natural things do not appeal to them anymore. What you find here is that in verse 25, they perverted the Scriptures. And because they perverted the Scriptures, God reciprocates to them and perverts their interests and lets them be perverted. That's what happens. They perverted the Scriptures, and so therefore God gave them up to vile affections. He reciprocates to them what they give to Him. We see that in pretty much every judgment here. In the first time, they would not honor God. The first, the first case of this, the first category of sin, they saw the things of God, the invisible things of God. In verse 20, verse 21, they knew God. They glorified Him not as God. They did not honor God. They were not thankful to God. And so therefore, God reciprocated it to them by turning them over to sin and immorality, where they dishonored their own bodies. And so it rocks on a little bit. They've still got light. They still know God is there. They've still got the ability to repent. God's working with them and dealing with them. But because they pervert Scriptures and they pervert truth, God reciprocates it to them, turns them over to more sin, and lets them be perverted. God says, you're going to pervert truth. I'll let you be perverted. That is what happens. And so God is judging them, and man is moving down this progression of sin and judgment. They perverted the sin, so God reciprocates and lets them be perverted. Perversion, which destroys them, by the way. See, again, sin is destruction. It is the embodiment of destruction. It doesn't matter how big or how small, and it doesn't matter how public or how private it is. There are things that go on in dark corners of the night that nobody knows about in your life. But I'm telling you, sin is the embodiment of destruction. And the eyes of God are in all places beholding the evil and the good. That's Gideon's memory verse in Sunday school. They're in every place. And God knows. And one of these days, God will jerk the cover off of it. And that, or if it rocks, I'll tell you this, the devil will jerk the cover off of it, and the devil don't, God will. The devil's got a lot of us hoodwinked, thinking he's our friend. And he'll build some dark room, some dark corner for you to be able to perform your sin in and make it out like he's doing you a favor. And the only thing he's building is a big trap. That's it. And then he'll drop the walls on that thing and expose it before the whole world and stand and laugh at your calamity, make a big spectacle of you. The devil is not our friend. Y'all with me? I'm saying it is destruction. And this sin that God actually turns them over to destroys them. Look at what it says in verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 27. The last part of the verse, the last phrase. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. They're receiving in themselves the recompense for their sin. He said, which was meat. And what does the word meat mean?
You think about the term when God refers to a wife, calls her a help meet. An Eve. Eve was a help meet for Adam. That is a help that was suitable. The perfect help for him. Suited just for him. Well, what they're receiving in themselves as a result of the sin is suited. It is suited recompense for the sin. In other words, they're doing the crime, so they're paying the time. Amen. Amen. That's why back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, that's why AIDS were all over the place. They are receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, and it is meat. You understand what I'm saying? And one way or another, it may be HIV, it may be something else, but one way or the other, men and women that get to this point and go off into these sins, they're going to receive a recompense for their sin, a recompense for their error, and it's going to be meat. It's going to be suitable. It's going to be suited. It's going to be what they deserve for it. It's going to be getting what they've got coming. That's how serious sin is. Now, in this passage here, I want to give you maybe three different things regarding the lack of interest that sin causes. First of all, we see the fact of the lack of interest. That's what he said in verse 28. Look at it. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." So that's the fact of it all. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. People, we talk about this interest thing. Sin in people's lives affecting their interest. Whenever sin is in your life, you're not interested in the things of God. You're not interested in hearing preaching. You're not interested in reading your Bible. You're not interested in praying because sin is there. Therefore, you do not like to retain God in your knowledge. Because the gospel and the Bible and preaching and the things of God and the people of God, they expose it. They shine a light on that sin. And so, I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, people they don't want to be around. I didn't ever want to be around God's people when I had sin in my life, you know, when I was lost and sinful. And truth be told, that's why whenever people get something to get crossways with God, the first thing they do is blame the church, blame the preacher, and start missing, which is the worst thing they could do. But I understand why they do it, because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Because it puts a finger on the sore spot in their soul. I mean, is this what the Bible says or is it not? Y'all with me? And so that's the fact of it all. Now, I know that's not necessarily the condition of these people specifically he's talking about, but the application there and the truth is there. The people he's talking about here specifically have progressed to the point that they don't want God in their knowledge. They've gone so far, they don't want to think about God. They hate God. They don't want you putting God in their face. They want to eliminate the manger scenes from downtown. They want to eliminate the Ten Commandments out of the schools and out of the courthouses. They don't want to mingle, you know, religion and politics. They want separation of church and state. And all that stuff. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, and they don't want you to retain God in your knowledge either. They're not interested. I've always said, and you've heard me say it a bunch of times, there's no such thing as an atheist. There is no, God don't believe in atheists. You know what an atheist is? An atheist is an anti-theist. It's not that they just don't believe there's a God. They are against God. They hate God. They hate God. They're not just atheists. They're not just, you know, not even believers. They are anti. They are against God. And I tell you what, most of them have gotten to this point. That's what the Bible shows us here. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Listen, if we are expecting for this world to turn around and some big global revival to take place and for all the contemporary churches to shut down and all the liberalism to shut down, listen, you don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. It's not going to happen. Things are going to wax worse and worse. People are going to get... Listen, there's deceivers are going to wax worse and worse. False prophets are going to wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. And people are going to eat it up because they do not like to retain God's knowledge. It gives them an out. It gives them a reason to reject God. And this is where we are. And this is where you'll get. And those after you will get if you're not careful. If we're not careful. And so we see the fact of it. The fact is they don't like to retain God in the knowledge. But then we also, in the same verse, see the finality of it. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. That shows us that from this point on, it is final. It is set in stone.
Yes, sir.
There's no turning back at this point. This is crossing God's deadline. God has turned the man over to a reprobate mind. He's turned the light off in his heart, turned the light off in his mind. He'll never think the way he used to think. He'll never desire the things he used to desire. He'll never feel the things he used to feel. He'll never be affected by the things that used to affect him. He may spend the rest of his life in church every time the doors are open, but it will not touch him. It will not move him. It will not affect him. And I'm saying this is very, very dangerous ground for anyone to be on, for anyone to flirt with sin and flirt with the world and flirt with carnality. Listen, if they are lost, there will come a time when God will turn the light out and it'll be settled. It'll be settled. It is final. You say, I know it makes good preaching. I know it's a good thought that as long as there's breath, there's hope. It's a fact, brother. It's not Bible truth. Now, I can't preach and I can't witness and I can't give the gospel thinking that I know who's final and who's not. Because we don't. Only God knows. There's probably some people that are dressed up and they toe a straight line that God's turned a light out on them. I mean, as far as the outside looking in, I mean, they dress right and walk right and spit white. But God knows what's in their heart, and God's turned the light out. And they've gone too far. Amen. I believe just like what Brother Raymond testified this morning, I believe that if I didn't get saved the night I got saved, I believe the Lord was done with me. This is where I was going. I'd been convicted so many times, and I'd been in so many church services. And I know the Lord, He didn't speak to me in an audible voice that night, but I heard Him just the same. When the preacher spoke and preached and he talked about Esau, how he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Carefully with tears. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that's going to be you one of these days. Tonight's the night. Tonight's your chance. You're going to send away your day of grace, and you might seek for repentance, and you might seek for God carefully, and you might do it with tears. And some people cry crocodile tears looking for God, but they're never touched because they've gone too far. And I believe that that night was final for me. I believe that night was the night. If I didn't choose Jesus that night, I was going to be turned over and let go. Now you say, Brother Jacob, I'm saved. What's this got to do with me? Well, saved people can still get this far. I believe that. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your life. Now this is what I believe, and I could take you to several scriptures and show you this. We know there's a sin unto death. Isn't that right? And so this is what I believe. I believe saved people, when they go too far on God, they die physically. I believe lost people, according to the Word of God right here, whenever they go too far on God, they die spiritually. And they're dead men walking. And I believe we are experiencing a zombie apocalypse. We have got dead men walking out there. They are dead men walking. And there's no hope for them. We're still preaching the gospel. We're still doing all we can to reach the lost. We're going out, we're street preaching, we're tagging doors, we're going to the jail. But I believe with all my heart that a lot of the people we're trying to reach, there's no hope for them. I mean, I don't know, and I'm not saying we quit. I think it's full speed ahead. We get the gospel as much more now as we ever have. But just based on what we're seeing in society with so much disinterest, and so much apathy. And people are so indifferent. I told a preacher the other day, I said, man, I wish I could preach and make somebody mad now. When I first started preaching, you could preach and you could make people mad at you. They'd get so stirred up over preaching, they'd walk out the back door and not even shake your hand. And I've had it happen. I've had folks walk out the back door and not, I mean, I've seen folks walk right past me and not even shake my hand, not even look at me on the way back. They're just so mad. And I've never preached to try to make anybody mad. Don't misunderstand me. But I've seen people do that. I've seen people go outside doors and things like that, not to even have to go past me because they're so mad and so stirred up over the preaching. And I've never preached with the intent to intentionally make somebody mad. I don't want to do that. But the fact is, the gospel is an offense. The Word of God is an offense. If we are not right with God, it will offend our flesh. But we've come to a day now where you can't offend anybody. You can't stir anybody up. You can preach it as hard and as straight as you want to, and they will smile and shake their head and say amen and walk out and shake your hand, say it was a great message and they enjoyed it, and then go right out and live the opposite of what you just preached and what the Bible says, and it has no effect on them. And then they'll come back that night, and they'll come back Wednesday night, and the next week for more. And they'll just be faithful coming. I'm telling you, there's a problem there, man. There's something wrong there. And I mean, I don't know. All I've got is a Bible. All I've got is a Bible. All I know is what the Bible says. And this is what is right. And so, you know, if people are unaffected, it seems like something's final in their heart. We see the finality of it. And then, last of all, at the end of the verse, we see the foulness from the lack of interest. People get this far. God turns them over to things that are very foul. And it's not all sodomy. That is one of the signs of it. But it's not all that. God calls a lot more sins foul other than just sodomy. That's not just, I mean, that's an abomination, and I know that, but that's not just the only sin in the Bible that makes God sick, that disgusts God. He has a long list here of the sins that this lack of interest leads into. He says in the verse 28, he said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word convenient means acceptable or things that are, I'm trying to think of the word here. I can't get the word, but things that are fitting. Fitting is one of the words, one of the defining words of convenient. Things that are not fitting. That is fitting for a human being in his natural state to do. Things that are not convenient. One man referred to this case and this situation as damnation to defilement. These people get so far where they are already damned and they're damned to be defiled. And there's no turning back. There's no conscience towards it anymore. Now the third judgment of God giving up the sinner, or this is the third judgment of God giving up a sinner to more sin and worse sin in this progression here. Every time God's giving them up and giving them over to more sin and worse sin. Now, I don't know about you. I'm glad God has always strived with me. I'm glad He's always kept me from going farther than I would have gone without Him. Amen? I'm thankful and I'm glad for everything my parents caught me in before I actually did. Everything I was planning to do but got caught before I was going to do it and got in big trouble. That's the grace of God. You realize that? That's the grace of God. Listen, it's the grace of God every time God works out a situation to where a sin cannot take place when you're planning on it. It's in your heart and it's going to happen. Amen. But you keep going long enough and you keep that in your heart long enough in spite of the light that you've got. You keep sinning in your heart long enough with the light that you have. God eventually will just let it happen. You know, see, the Lord, Jesus, He's interested in the heart of this thing. It all starts in the heart, and that's what the Lord's interested in. People think, well, this is the day of grace. You know, He's loosened up a lot. Oh, no, He's gotten a lot tighter. The law dealt with this. Jesus went beyond this. He got down into the very soul, the corridors of man's heart. Jesus tightened the belt down. The law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus got a little tighter. He said, if a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart already. Amen. And so that sin or any other sin, you keep it in your heart long enough. And by the way, it is sin to harbor. You may not have done it, but it's sin to harbor it in your heart too. Think upon it, meditate upon it, desire it, long for it, not repent of it, not do right, not seek God, keep in your heart. But eventually God will turn you over and let it get out here. He'll let the act happen. And what we find here is the foulness from this lack of interest causes them to do the things which are not convenient. Now, God gives a long list of the vileness of these deeds. I could go through and I could preach every one of them, but I'm not going to. I want us to go down there and read them. I want you to think about these. Some of these are common, some of these are uncommon. And some of these are sin physically, and some of them are sin heart. But God lists them all in the same list. That's what I want you to understand. All these are in the same list as a result of being turned over to a reprobate mind and being lack of. That doesn't mean if you've committed one of these, that's where you are, but this is where it all leads. This is what is prevalent. Matter of fact, he uses the word, he says at first in verse, I think it's, let's see, 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. That is, in a nutshell, everything else. It's not that they've just committed these things one time. They are filled with this stuff. It shows the excess of it. Filled with all unrighteousness. Look what it says. He lists fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Well, that's where we are, right? Inventors of evil things. There are things that are invented today that could be good and could be tools, could be used in a good way, but they're invented for evil purposes and used for evil purposes. Look at the next one, though. Disobedient to parents. That lets me know that you can be at this place before you're even out of the house. Before you're even grown and gone and out on your own, you can get to this place. They're disobedient to parents, and they're full of it. It says, without understanding, you cannot make somebody understand when they get to this place. They'll never see it. They'll never see it. They can't. Even if they want to, they can't. He says, covenant breakers. See, that seems like a small one in this list, but it's what they're full of. Covenant breakers? What about the day whenever a man's word was his bond? Now, if you're going to buy a house or borrow $300, they got a stack of papers for you to sign this high, and you got to have all kinds of collateral and co-signers and everything. I mean, they got to make double, extra, triple sure that you're going to pay that $300 back, because nobody does anything they say they'll do anymore. Covenant breakers. I could say a lot more about that, but without natural affection, they don't desire natural things. This is very unnatural for a mother to abort her child. It's very unnatural for to have a whole society of mothers that don't even want to raise their children. Give them to grandma to raise. Give them to the daycare to raise. Let the school raise them. That is unnatural. Now, it's socially acceptable, but it is unnatural. God didn't birth that in women's hearts. I could say a lot more about that, but I'm not. Implacable. Unmerciful. All these are the sins that a person winds up full of if they continue on this path. Last of all, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to close. We've seen the punishment for sin. We've seen the particulars of sin. Why do we need the gospel? Because of the persistence in sin. Look at verse 32. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What we find here in this verse is the tragic and even unbelievable persistence in sin. And in this verse, I see two things. I see awareness. He says, knowing the judgment of God. Knowing that they're worthy of death. They're aware. It's amazing that sin will get you to a place where you'll persist in it, fully aware of the judgment and the curse on it. Sin is suicidal, you know. Sin is sacrificing the future on the altar of the present.
Sin is, it is a suicidal. It's suicide. Committing it knowing the judgment to come. Awareness, but then last of all, approval. He said, not only they, but those that have pleasure in them that do them. See, the old saying is that misery loves company. Isn't that right? And sinners, these folks that get displaced, they don't want to just enjoy their sin and be left alone. They want you to enjoy their sin too. That's why sodomites and the homosexual movement, that's why they're not satisfied with equality. That's why Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they're not satisfied with equality. They don't want things equal. Sodomites are not satisfied. And a lot of people are not satisfied with just be able to commit their sin and just being left alone. No, they want you to approve of it too. They want you to say it's okay. They want preachers to stop preaching it. They want to change what the Bible says about it. It's not enough. By the way, I want to say this along the lines that we need to be careful. Along that lines, we need to be careful what we approve of. You know, every like, I was thinking about this the other day, every like on social media is an approval. Whatever you like, that is a putting approval on what it is you're liking. You say, oh, well, I mean, I don't mean it that way. Well, I'm telling you, to that sinner, it means that way. To that sinner, it looks that way. Oh, they're okay with this. I tell you, that's why I don't go to every meeting out there. That's why I don't preach for every preacher. That's why there's been some meetings I hadn't gone to and that I would have preached in this year. Because I don't want to put my approval on some of what's going on there. I don't want to be seen there. I don't want to be present, with some of these guys that's been married 2 and 3 and 4 times preaching alongside them. Listen, if I got to preach with and preach for and preach in my meeting guys that are disqualified, we just won't have a meeting and I won't preach with anybody or for anybody. Amen. Things ain't got that bad yet. But I'm saying this, we need to be careful what we approve of. You'd always be thinking, listen, am I approving? Because listen, that's what this sin wants. They want you to take pleasure. They want it to be acceptable. You know, we need to be careful. That's why TV is such a terrible thing. You watch enough stuff on TV, you're taking pleasure in vile sin. Every sex scene you watch, you're putting your approval on it. Every curse word you listen to, you're putting your approval on it. You're taking pleasure in it. The Bible said taking pleasure, you're worthy of death with them. And so, again, what we see here in this passage, the whole theme of it all is man's great need for Christ. And every one of us was on that road, on this road. And matter of fact, somebody here tonight may be on this road right now. You may have some sin in your life that you're flirting with and it's kind of progressing a little bit. Listen to me. Flee sin. Flee it. I don't preach this stuff because I'm mad at anybody. I preach this stuff because it will ravage your life. It will make a mess of your family. It'll make a mess of your life. It'll destroy you, man. If you're lost, listen, if you've not gone too far, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. You say, but how do I know when I've gone too far? You won't even care about being saved anymore. That's when you've gone too far. If you want to be saved, you can be saved according to John 6. If you want Him, you can have Him. But you better be very careful that you don't sin away that day of grace. And for those of us that are saved, we better be very careful that we don't sin away our life here. It's a very, very serious thing. Boy, what a need for the gospel. God help us. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for helping us with the message. And Lord, these are very serious things. And Lord, they're even difficult things to preach. And Lord, I'm just so thankful, Lord, for the work that You've done in my life. I'm so thankful that You didn't let me go, Lord, so far. Lord, we all deserve it, and we ought to be. And Lord, there's not one of us here above another. Lord, we're all so wicked. We're all equally at the bottom. We're all equally nothing. And Lord, You saved us anyways. And I'm just so thankful. And Lord, there might be somebody here tonight in the battle of their life. And Lord, they may be struggling with some sin and that thing may be progressing. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit Lord, would convict their heart and do a work in their heart tonight. Lord, I pray that they'd turn back and get right with you. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work. Lord, they could be blessed. They could live for you. And they could keep their testimony and keep their life. And Lord, you could use them in a mighty way. Lord, don't let them be destroyed by sin. Don't let the devil get the victory, Lord, I pray. And Lord, there may be one here tonight that's lost, Lord. And they're on this path, this progressive path of sin, this pathway to apostasy. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd shake them. And Lord, you'd put in their heart, Lord, the seriousness of sin. Lord, they'd not send away their day of grace. I pray, Lord, you'd get a hold of their heart and they'd do business with you tonight. Or that tonight could be the night of salvation. Well, Lord, I don't know what the need is. We've just tried to preach your word, be faithful to your word, and I pray that you'll take it and use it and bless us and help us. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all